You shall be called the repairer of brokenness, the restorer of neighborhood streets. Let us pray. Holy One of old, open our eyes that we may see. Amen.
Amen.
Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Our people are free. We have the right to vote. One of us is even president of these here United States. But freedom doesn't seem like what our ancestors struggled and died for, marched and died for, voted and died for. Slavery was replaced by sharecropping, Jim and Jane Crow, lynching, denial of voting rights, segregation, workplace discrimination, police brutality, economic disenfranchisement, and discrimination in every facet of life, often reinforced with lethal violence. And now, our right to vote is under attack again. Our schools in our neighborhoods are falling apart, understaffed, under-resourced, and overcrowded. And folk are shooting our children down like dogs in the street and getting away with it. And adding insult to injury, all of those killing us and our children are not other folk. There's brutality in our own house, in our own neighborhoods, in our own schools. Blood is on our hands too. How then is this freedom? Our neighborhoods are broken. We need some hood theology. The people of Judah in our first lesson were also asking, how is this freedom? Isaiah's people had returned to their holy land. The Babylonians who crushed them were themselves crushed by the Persians, and they too were free at last, thank God Almighty, they were free at last. But freedom didn't look like what they expected either. Times were hard. They were not prepared for the wreckage they found when they returned home. The temple, the palaces, the government buildings, and their homes were all scorched piles of rubble. Their fields were torn up, overrun, unproductive. There was no milk and honey this time. Some were poor and hungry, and some were even poorer than others. Some turned on their own folk. They bought and sold each other, and to be sure they got their money's worth. Some men took what they wanted from the girls sold to pay their family's debts before their fathers could buy them back and protect them. Blood was on their hands. How was that freedom? Their neighborhoods were broken. They needed some hood theology. To them and to us, God speaks through Isaiah's seminary students, writing in his name and says, you shall be called the repairer of brokenness, the restorer of neighborhood streets. But first, God and Isaiah's disciples say, tell my people they're rebellious sinners. Now, God, I was going with you real good for a while, but that right there is kind of harsh. The folk are already beat down, and it doesn't make me feel any better. It sounds like God is blaming me and you for everything that's wrong in the world. You know, sin language is hard because it's so easily corrupted into blame. And some folk have made a career out of blaming folk for all the terrible things that happen in the world or happen to them. Others unravel every social contract and support system. And when desperate, frustrated, undereducated, underemployed people make terrible choices, they are there to point fingers and say, "See, I told you so." That's the kind of folk they are. But that's not what God is doing here. God is not saying it's your fault if you're poor. It's your fault if you're hurting. It's your fault if you're struggling. God is not saying it's your fault violence came to your home. It's not your fault that your federal and local government are dysfunctional. What God is saying is that sin poisons the world, corrupts the nation, destroys people, and we are a part of that sinful world. God is not talking about personal, individual sin, what you may or may not have done last night. God is talking about national sin. Me they seek day after day and delight to know my ways, just like a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the judgments of their God. They ask me for righteous judgments. As Episcopalians, we know something about communal sin. We confess our sin together, saying the same words. We don't say, "Well, I don't have to say this part right here because I haven't done any of that." Or, "Brother, you need to say that part twice because I know what you were doing yesterday." We understand by virtue of being human, we are prone to sin. And when two or three of us are together, that institution or society reflects and magnifies our human frailties. We are broken and broken down, and some of us are just plain broke. The text seems to be especially written for folk like us, good religious folk who honestly wonder why the world is as bad as it is. It's especially timely before Lent. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why do we humble our souls, and you do not know? We and the Judeans have the same issues. All too often, religion is something we do, especially when folk are looking. When it should be who we are, whether there's anyone around or not. So who are you when nobody's looking? What's your religion look like then? What's your prayer life look like in private? Here's what God observed. "Look, on your fast day, you find your own delight and oppress all your workers." Well, here's where the comparison breaks down, right? We don't do that. We're not all bosses and ballers, shot callers, business owners, job creators. Isaiah and them need to go right on over to the first church of the Tea Party Patriots, right? Because that's not us. But the words of Isaiah 58:2 keep coming back to haunt me. "You act like a nation that practiced righteousness." The state of your hood is directly related to the state of your nation, and that's hood theology 101. Whether you live in a gated community or a garbage dump, we are all in this together. So what's going on in your hood? Is there crime in the streets? Are brothers and sisters slanging on the corners because they're desperate and don't have any other opportunities, or because they just don't care about anybody or anything except making the Benjamins? Well, maybe that's a little too downtown for your hood, because this is the African Episcopal Church of St. Thomas, and we are known for being sadiddy. So is your hood a historic neighborhood with manicured lawns and gardens, but you wouldn't go for a walk there after dark? Or maybe your hood is picture perfect, and behind those immaculately painted shutters is lovelessness and loneliness, violence and addiction, depression and family secrets. And don't get me started on the neighbors. Do we even know our neighbors? How are you going to love your neighbors if you don't even speak to them? If we do know our neighbors, do we do more than nod and speak? Maybe we can't end gang violence in Chicago or resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but we can forge links in a chain of communities to anchor our neighborhoods during the storm. Now, many have done just that in this winter of our discontent. But too many will return to indifference once the snow and ice pass. This entire nation is also our hood, and its brokenness is our brokenness. As we go to church week after week, observe Lent year after year, sometimes praying for our hood and sometimes not, the text calls us to account by asking, what are we doing to heal and transform our hood ourselves? The power is in our hands. We are the salt and the light of the gospel. We are agents of change and transformation. What are we doing with our power? Are we sitting on it like so many sit on the power of their vote? That we are responsible for the state of our nation, not to blame because there's a difference. This ought not be a surprise. After all, we live in a participatory democracy where we have the right to vote, and it is a right and responsibility, just like doing jury duty. But the text is talking about more than that. The national sin that God and Isaiah are talking about is not simply a matter of public and foreign policy. Then we could wash our hands and say we're not responsible. You see, Judah could say, well, the king makes all those decisions, and now the Persians are making them for us. None of this is our fault. And we could say, I can't stop President Obama from making drone attacks, just like I couldn't stop President Bush from invading the wrong country. See, it's not our fault either, but the text doesn't let us off the hook. Isaiah describes a situation where instead of being focused on God, the people were focused on themselves, even though it was a fast day. And as a result, they were unjust in all their dealings with others, but they never missed those fast and feast days. It was as though they thought they could do whatever they wanted every day throughout the week, then come into God's house, say a few prayers, wipe the slate clean, and go right back to doing the same old things with no intention to change, no attempt to try to do better. And God says, I'm not interested in those prayers. I'm not interested in that kind of Lent. Your fasting, just as on today, will not make your voice heard on high. You see, it's not enough to fast and hope that the world changes. It's not enough to fast and pray that somebody else does something about your hood. It's not enough to go to church, pledge and tithe, serve on committees, and neglect the world around us, lest we forget there is no one who is not our neighbor. God says, is not this the fast I choose? To open the shackles of injustice, release the straps of the imprisoning yoke, to set the downtrodden free, and to tear off every yoke. Where is the injustice in your hood? That is where we should be. In addition to celebrating our civil rights, sheroes and heroes, we should be making our own Black history, for we are called to tear off every yoke, every shackle that imprisons. In our time, the old Jim Crow has been replaced by the new Jim Crow, with prison shackles replacing slave shackles. We've got work to do opposing the criminalization of Black boys from the third grade, targeted to fill up prisons being built instead of schools. Let's clean up our hood. Is this not the fast that I choose? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, bring the vulnerable poor home, when you see the naked to cover them and not hide from your own flesh and blood? God, can't I just write a check to fix my hood? No, baby, you got to get some skin in the game. Every homeless person is related to somebody. And yes, there are difficult, complicated situations, but it's one thing to try to help somebody and fail, and never even bother to make the effort on the other hand. We've got to share what we have because it isn't even ours. Everything we have, we've been given by God for maintenance and restoration of God's hood on earth. The earth is the Lord's. The world is God's hood, and she is sweeping the streets, cleaning the curb, and taking out the garbage, whether we help or not. But if we work with God, partner with God, then we will experience God in a whole new way. We won't have to go looking for God because we will be where God is, doing what God does with God. We are the ones we are waiting for. We can heal our nation and our world. One broken neighbor, one neglected street, one torn up neighborhood at a time. You shall be called the repairer of brokenness, the restorer of neighborhood streets. Let's get to work, church.